This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa Allah. Ashhadu an la أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين به ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله تعالى من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله الله رحمة للعالمين وقدوة للمؤمنين ومحجة للسالكين وحجة للعباد أجمعين أنار الله به العقول وشرح به الصدور وفتح به أعينا عميا وآذانا صما وقلوبا غلفا فاللهم اجزه خير ما جزيت نبيا عن أمته ورسولا عن دعوته ورسالته وصل اللهم وزد وبارك عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وعلى جميع من استنى بسنته واقتفى بأثره إلى يوم الدين أما بعد فأوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله تعالى فإنه من يتق الله يجعل له مخرجا ويرزقه من حيث لا يحتسب All praise is due to Allah alone. In Him we seek aid and assistance, and to Him we turn both in repentance and for forgiveness. Truly, He whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, none can mislead, and He whom Allah leaves to go astray, there is none who can guide. And I bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship save Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is both His servant and His messenger. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated to us an example of the hatred and enmity that Shaytan has to the children of Adam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam described Iblis sitting on his throne, surrounded by his followers from the jinn. And so Iblis orders his followers to go out and to cause corruption amongst mankind. And when they return, he asks them, "What did you do to cause evil? What did you do to cause corruption? So one of them will say, I tempted so-and-so until he stole. And another will say, I tempted this person until he abused another. And then one of them will say, I did not leave a man until I caused him to separate from his wife. And so, Iblis will say, he will boast about this one and honor him and say, Na'am ant, yes, you are the one. You are the one who achieved something. You separated the man from his wife. Meaning he is the winner amongst all of the shayateen on that day. And this shows us that marriage is a tremendous blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And that through the destruction of marriage comes corruption in the land and between the people. And corruption often for the children as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He talks to us about marriage in the Qur'an, He says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ, from His signs, subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the signs of Allah. Meaning it is from the miracles of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What? أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُم مِّنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا, that He created for you from yourself spouses. That you may find tranquility with them. This is a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ خَلَقْنَا زَوْجَيْنِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. Allah says, and from all things we created spouses, two mates, so that you may remember. Allah could have created us like the organisms that reproduce on their own, but instead He created us man and woman. This is a miracle from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tells us, هُنَّ لِبَاسٌ لَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لِبَاسٌ لَهُنْ, that they are a clothing for you and you are a clothing for them. That you and your spouse, just like the clothing you wear, the clothing protects you. You are a clothing for them and she is a clothing for you. You are protecting one another. Just as your clothes beautify yourself, your spouse beautifies you and you beautify them. Each of us are not complete. If you were not wearing clothing, you would not be complete. You would be seen as naked, exposed, incomplete. Your spouse completes you and complements you and protects you. And just like the clothes are intimate and close to you, your spouse is intimate and close to you as well. هُوَ الَّذِي خَلَقَ مِنَ الْمَاءِ بَشَرًا فَجَعَلَهُ نَسَبًا وَصِهْرًا وَكَانَ رَبُّكَ قَدِيرًا. Allah says, He is the one who created from water the human being. فَجَعَلَهُ, and He made for him two things. نَسَبًا. Nasab is your progeny, your children, and your children's children. He created for you your immediate family, your bloodline. نَسَبًا وَصِهْرًا. And sihra is your in-laws, those who you are related to through marriage. So Allah is saying He gave you family. He gave you your direct family and He gave you your indirect family, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this is a blessing from Allah. A happy family translates into a happy life. A strong family translates into a strong society. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِنَّمَا الدُّنْيَا مَتَاعُ وَلَيْسَ مِنْ مَتَاعِ الدُّنْيَا شَيْءٍ أَفْضَلٌ مِنَ الْمَرْءِ الصَّالِحَةِ. He said, all of the dunya is a pleasure. It's an amusement. Right? But the best of all of the pleasure of this world is the righteous woman. The best pleasure of all of this world is a righteous spouse. The best way to live in this dunya, to benefit from this dunya, to have a good life, is to have a good spouse. And without that relationship, The best of the dunya eludes the person. And this is why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam, before He created Jannah, He created His wife Hawa. As if to tell us, what's the point of Jannah if Adam does not have someone with him, his spouse, to be with him? Then they are entered into Jannah and told, go eat and drink. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent His prophets, He says, وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَذُرِّيَّةً. We made for them spouses and children and offspring. And so by and large, the prophets were given wives and children. And so in the climate that we live, we see how divorce rates continue to skyrocket. It used to be a time when we would say, you know, the non-Muslims divorce and Muslims don't. And there was a time where that was true. Now, whether we're talking about Muslims in the West or even Muslims in the East, divorce rates are incredibly high. And so we should reflect on the legacy of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and understand how he managed marriage, how he arranged the affairs of his family life, how he stood as an example in dealing with strife and conflict and problems that happened in his life, so that we can better navigate our own life. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. Allah says that indeed in the Messenger of God, there is a good example. There is a role model for you. Our Prophet ﷺ had conflicts at times in his marriage. And there's a wisdom in this. Number one, no marriage is perfect. Every marriage will have its conflicts. Every marriage will have its problems. Number two, that even though there are problems sometimes in marriages, it doesn't mean the people in the marriage are bad. This is Rasulullah. His wives are our mothers. These are the best of the people. So just because there's a conflict does not necessitate one person is evil, the other person is good, as people often talk about. And it's a reminder for us that every marriage will have its hardships. Every marriage will have its difficulties. And what matters is how we deal with those difficulties, how we navigate those difficulties, how we treat each other despite a difficulty that may arise from time to time. And our Prophet ﷺ would instruct us in many of the affairs of our lives and instruct us in relation to the affairs with our families. He said, "Dinar anfaqtahu." في رقبة ودينار تتصدق به على مسكين ودينار أنفقته على أهلك أعظمها أجرا للذي أنفقته على أهلك. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the dollar you spend to free a slave, and the dollar you spend on the needy, and the dollar you spend to take care of your family, and he said the greatest of it is the dollar you spend to take care of your family. Some people will leave their family with no money, struggling, can't even buy food, can't even buy clothing. And the Prophet is reminding you what you spend on your family to take care of them, to give them their basic necessities. This is the best dollar you can spend. And our Prophet ﷺ even went beyond that. He said, إِنَّكَ لَن تَنْفِقْ نَفَقَةً تَبْتَغِي بِهَا وَجْهَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا اسْتَتَّ بِهَا دَرَجَةً. He said, you don't give anything for the sake of Allah, except that it will increase your rank by a degree. And then he gives you a beautiful example. He said, حَتَّى اللُّقْمَ تَضَعَهَا فِي فَمِّ امْرَأَتَكَ. He said, even the morsel of food that you place in the mouth of your wife. You buy a morsel of food and you put it in the mouth of your wife. He said, this is a sadaqah that you're going to get a reward for, and you will be raised a degree. But look at how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by giving us this example, what is he implying to us? That the person has this kind of kindness and love and affection to his wife, that he's even willing to put the food in her mouth. And we know the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. She said, "Kuntu ashrab min ina wa ana ha'id." She said, "I was drinking from a cup while I was in my menstruation." And then the Prophet said, give it to me. So she gave the cup to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She said, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam churned the cup and placed his mouth where I placed my mouth. This is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showing affection. He's not above showing affection and love to his wife, even in a time where they could not have relations. But he still shows this love for his wife sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we know the hadith when, you know, the women came complaining to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at the treatment their husbands were having with them. Some of them were hitting their wives. He said, لَقَدْ طَافَ بِآلِ مُحَمَّدِ الْيَوْمِ نِسَاءَ كَثِيرٌ وَاللَّهِ مَا هُمْ بِخِيَارِكُمْ. He said, many women have come gathering around the house of Muhammad, and indeed they are not the best of you, i.e. the ones who are their husbands are not the best of you, that they are treating them like this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even though he instructed the men in relation to the women, he also instructed the women in relation to the men. We know the hadith, لو كنت آمر أحد أن يسجد لأحد لأمرت المرأة أن تسجد لزوجها. He said, were I to command any man, any human, any person to prostrate to another person, I would have commanded the wife to prostrate to her husband. Now prostration here, sujood here, does not mean sujood al-ibadah. Does not mean the prostration of worship. It means the prostration of respect. Like in the story of Yusuf, when his brothers and his parents prostrated to Yusuf, they were not worshipping him, they were respecting him. But in our sharia, it is not permitted to prostrate even out of respect. He said, were I to command it, I would have commanded it first for the wife to prostrate to her husband. A lot of people will look at this hadith and say, it's this or it's that. There's an excellent book called The Surrendered Wife that talks about an important concept. It says, women are seeking love. What women need is love from their husbands. You see the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam drinking from the exact spot that Aisha is drinking from. This is a sign of love for his wife. He said, women need love. What do men need? Men need respect. They need to feel like their wife respects them. Right? This is how the marriage is healthy. So when the Prophet is saying, I would have told the wife to prostrate to the husband, because the wife should show respect to her husband. When the husband is showing love to his wife and the wife is showing respect to her husband, this is the healthy marriage. Because both parties are getting what they need. If we eliminate the concept of a wife showing respect to her husband, then it's going to be a broken marriage because the husband's not getting what he needs. If the husbands are inattentive and don't care about showing love for their wife, then the wife is not getting what she needs and it's a broken marriage. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was pushing us to having this type of healthy marriage where there is love and there is respect between them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Live with them in kindness. And so there are different things that men and women value, but they are of equal importance. And sometimes they need to be shown and derived during different means. Right? We know the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he married Safiya radiallahu anha, and she came to ride the steed, whether it was a horse or a camel, but it's too high up for her. She can't get to the top. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam bent his knee so she could put her foot on his knee and get up to the horse. This is chivalry, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And because he's showing her this love, she has respect for him. She said, استحييتو. I felt فخجلتو. She said, I felt shy. أن أضع قدمي على ركبة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. She said, I felt shy to put my foot on the thigh of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So what did she do? She bent her knee and she put her knee on the knee of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and she boosted herself up that way. Like, she has so much respect for the Prophet, she doesn't want to put her foot on him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when one party shows love and the other party shows mercy, shows respect, this is, you know, the beautiful marriage. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, we see throughout his life moments where he is joking and laughing with his wives. We know the hadith when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells Aisha, "O Aisha, wallahi I know inni li'alam idha kunti radiyatan anni wa idha kunti ghadbana." He said, "I know when you are happy with me and I know when you are angry with me." She said, "How do you know?" He said, "When you are happy with me, you say, La wa Rabbi Muhammad. And when you are angry with me, you say, La wa Rabbi Ibrahim." He said, "When you are happy with me, you swear by Allah, you say, by the Lord of Muhammad. And when you're angry with me, you say, I swear by the Lord of Ibrahim." He's, you know, kind of bringing it up jokingly to her. He said, "I notice when you don't like me, you'll swear by the Lord of Ibrahim rather than by the Lord of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." Of course, he's the same Lord. Then Aisha radiallahu anha, she tells the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she said, "Ajal ya Rasulullah, wallahi ma ahjaru illa ismuk." She said, "It's true, O Messenger of Allah, wallahi I can only abandon your name." Meaning my love for you is so much, I can't abandon you physically. I can't physically leave you. I can't physically turn away from you. The most that I can do is I don't say your name. This is the most that I can abandon. This is the most that I can turn away. This is because of her love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and from how excellent his treatment sallallahu alaihi wasallam was for her. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam guided us in our family relationships. He said, "لا يفرق مؤمن مؤمنا إن كره منها خلقا رضي منها آخر." He said, "The believing man should not hate a believing woman." And this hadith works in reverse as well. Why? He said, "إن كره منها خلق," or "إن كره منها خلق." If he hates a characteristic of her, he will love a different one. What does this mean? One of the main drivers of problems in marriage sometimes has nothing to do with your spouse, or little to do with the spouse. And it has everything to do with you. Because we enter this mindset of lack of contentment. We enter this mindset of wanting to compare everything. So Allah gave you a wife or gave you a husband. What do we start doing? Comparing our wife or our husband against somebody else's wife and husband. Why is it that his wife cooks better than you? Why is it that her husband makes more money? And you go on and on in these comparisons. And what happens when you compare? What you have looks like it's small, even if it's a lot. Right? This happens in life. You could get a brand new car, top of the line, fully loaded. What's going to happen? Somebody else is going to have another car that has a feature you don't have. Next year, there'll be another model better than your model. And you start comparing, you feel like what you have is less because you're comparing. So the Prophet says, if there's something you don't like about your spouse, there's something you do like. So maybe there's something, maybe she's not the greatest cook, but maybe she raises your children well. Maybe she encourages your children to memorize Quran. If there's something you don't like about her, maybe there's something you do. If he doesn't make that much money, maybe he spends more time with his children. And so this is what allows a person to have a good marriage. If you dislike one thing, you probably will like another. And if we have that mentality, then inshallah we'll be happier in our marriages. It's about changing our perspective. Another beautiful story is the story of Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah ta'ala. His wife passed away, Abdullah. And he was, you know, remembering her and making dua. And he said, لَقَدْ لَبِثْتُ 20 سَنَا مَخْتَلَفْنَا فِي شَيْءٍ. He said, me and her, we lived together for 20 years. We were married for 20 years. He said, we never disagreed about anything. Like, we never had a conflict, a fight about anything. And people said, how is this possible? How could you live 20 years like that and not have conflicts and issues? And he said to them, كنت إذا غضبت أرضيتني وإذا غضبت مني أرضيتها. He said, when I became upset, she would seek to please me. And when she became upset, I would seek to please her. They had this compromise with each other, like a rope between them. If she pulled on it because she's upset, she's angry, you know, he would let go. If he's upset and he pulls on the rope, she would let go. What happens if both of them pull on the rope at the same time? The rope's going to break. So they compromise with each other. When one party notices the other party's upset, they find a way to let go of their demands, to make things easier for the other person, and vice versa. And it's not just one person compromising all the time, it's both of them compromising, right? Whenever there's one person is really affected, the other person lets go. فأقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم استغفروا إنه الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. There was research done on the major forms or the major signs of a divorce. And they mentioned 4 signs of a divorce. The first they mentioned was criticism. And this is different from a complaint. A complaint is you're complaining about a problem. Criticism is you're criticizing the person. And so, an example, you're complaining. I was scared when you didn't call me and you didn't tell me that you were running late. I didn't know where you were and I became upset. I became scared. You were out at night late. You never called me, didn't message me, didn't tell me what time you were getting home. I was scared about this. This is a complaint. You're complaining about a problem. A criticism is, you don't care about me. You don't care how your behavior affects me. You have no respect for me. You never think about me. So you didn't even message me when you were out late. There's a difference between A and B. The first one complains about the problem. The second one is accusing the person, criticizing the person. Because usually the first step leads to the other. We see the Prophet ﷺ, he would avoid these things. Like you see many hadith, the Prophet ﷺ would wake up and he would ask, you know, is there any food? And they would say, the wives of the Prophet would say, there's no food. He said, inni idhan sa'im, then I'm fasting. He could have been like, why didn't she get me food? What's wrong with you? You never think about me. You never go get food so I have a breakfast in the morning. No, he just solved the problem. I'm going to fast. And so he'd avoid these issues, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Contempt was the second sign of divorce. When the criticism graduates, it becomes contempt. So you're not just attacking the individual, now you're disrespecting them. One of them says they're tired. You say, you're tired? Get out of here. You're sitting on the couch all day. I'm the one working. I'm the one doing this. I'm the one doing that. You're just lazy. You're just this. You're just that. So now you're attacking the person. You're disrespecting the person. You're calling them lazy. You're calling them this. You're calling them that. And our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I am the advocate for a person to get a garden in paradise if they abandon arguing, even if they are right. Even if they are in the right, they give up the arguments. For what reason? To avoid the problem of getting into, you know, contempt and attacking one another. We know the ayah in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِنَّ مِنْ أَزْوَاجِكُمْ وَأَوْلَادِكُمْ عَدُوٌ لَكُمْ فَاحْذَرُوهُمْ. O you who believe, indeed some of your wives and children are an enemy to you. This ayah was revealed when some of the Muslims in Mecca wanted to perform their hijrah. And their wives and their children were trying to convince them not to do hijrah. So Allah says, some of your wives and children are an enemy to you, so beware of them. Then what does Allah say at the end of the verse? وَإِن تَعْفُوا وَتَصْفِحُوا وَتَغْفِرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. But if you forgive, if you overlook, if you pardon each other, then indeed Allah is forgiving and merciful. Despite the fact your wife is trying to stop you from doing hijrah to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, if you can get over the problem, inshallah, and forgive them at the end. You know, don't listen to them. Beware, don't listen to them. Do your hijrah, but then forgive them and overlook. If a serious issue like that, Allah is telling you to forgive and overlook, shouldn't we do this more often in our lives? The third top sign they mention is defensiveness. And this is, you know, we do this all the time. It's routine, but it's a problem. So for instance, you know, the wife says to the husband, did you call so-and-so and schedule an appointment? Defensiveness was, I'm too busy. You know I'm busy. Why did you even ask me to do this? You're getting defensive. Whereas if you're not defensive, you say, oh, I forgot, subhanAllah, I forgot. Inshallah, next time I will do this. I was too busy. I'll call them now or I'll call them tomorrow. There's a difference in the responses, right? First one is trying to be defensive. And I think of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when Aisha radiallahu anha woke up at night and she thought the Prophet left. So she was jealous. She thought the Prophet went to the other wives. So she started feeling around. And she felt the head of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So the Prophet woke up because she's touching his head. And the Prophet realized what's happening. So he said to Aisha, قَدْ جَاءُكِ شَيْطَانُكِ. He said, your shaitan came to you. Right? He's making you jealous. So Aisha gets defensive. What did she say? She said, Ya Rasulullah, أَلَيْسَ لَكَ شَيْطَانُ. Don't you have a shaitan too? Why are you talking always about my shaitan? Don't you also have a shaitan? Now the Prophet could take the bait here. Because what happens when one party gets defensive? What happens? The other party starts to fight back. Why are you talking about my shaitan? You're the one who's accusing me. Now it gets into a fight, right? The Prophet ﷺ doesn't do that. What does he do? He says, na'am. He says, yes, I do have a shaitan. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَعَانَنِي عَلَيْهِ فَأَسْلَمُ. But Allah helped me overcome him and he accepted Islam. So my shaitan is now a Muslim, so he's not a shaitan anymore. Right? So he didn't take the bait and get into the argument. He just solved the issue. And the last point is stonewalling, which is refusing to respond to the other. So there's a conflict and one side just shuts down, doesn't respond, doesn't say anything. And men are more likely to do this than women. 85% of the time, it is a man who stonewalls rather than a woman. And the brothers are smiling. They know that they do this from time to time. And this can be dangerous because it's frustrating. And it causes the wife sometimes to give up. She doesn't even want to try anymore in the marriage because she feels like there's no point because the person's not responding. And I think of the hadith of Abu Zar'a and Umm Zar'a, which is Aisha radiallahu anha. It's a long hadith. And she's telling the Prophet the stories of women in Medina with their husbands. Long hadith. And at the end is the story of Umm Zar'a. Because she gives the example of her husband. She says her husband basically was the best, but he divorced her and she was still in love with him even though he divorced her. And she says at the end, if I were to gather all of the gifts I was given, they would not be equal to a single gift of Abu Zar'a. And the Prophet ﷺ is listening to the whole thing because at the end he tells her, O Aisha, I am to you like Abu Zar'a is to Umm Zar'a. But I thought about this, I thought, subhanAllah, you know, sometimes the wife comes home, she tells you this long story about all her friends, and you're not even listening. Then she asks you at the end what happened and you forgot the whole thing. You know, there's one sheikh, every time he gets home, his daughter talks to him, he just tells her, mashallah, mashallah, mashallah. He's not listening to her. Then one day the wife comes in, she says, why did you tell our daughter, mashallah? She told you she cut her hand. He's not listening. He just says, mashallah. The Prophet listened to everything Aisha says. And then he comments with a beautiful comment. I am to you like Abu Zar'a is to Umm Zar'a. And so not having the stonewalling, rather engaging and listening and being connected in our marriage is something, inshallah, that will protect it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our homes and protect our children. In Allahu malaikatu yusalluna 'ala an-nabiyyi ayyuhalladhina amanu sallu 'alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli wa sallim 'ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammad. Allahumma salli 'ala Muhammadin ma dhakarahu dhakiruna al-abrar wa salli 'alayhi rabbana ma tatawwa'a misku wa fah. Salli 'alayhi rabbana salatan wa salaman da'imin ila yawmiddin. وعلى آله وأصحابه الطيبين الطاهرين، وعلى أمهات المؤمنين، وعلينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين. اللهم لا تدع لنا في مقامنا هذا ذنبًا إلا غفرته، ولا همًا إلا فرجته، ولا دينًا إلا قضيته، ولا مبتلًا إلا عافيته، ولا حاجة من حوائج الدنيا والآخرة هي لك رضا ولنا فيها صلاح إلا قضيته وسترتها برحمتك أرحم الراحمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين، وأعلي بفضلك كلمة الحق والدين. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا، وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان، وجعلنا من الراشدين. إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على نعمه يزدكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. عبد الله قم الصلاة.